Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, saints of branch churches around the world and across the country, all saints worshiping and the viewers of GCN broadcast. This is the 79th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I finished explaining the first half of the Genesis chapter 3:18. Now let's take a look at the rest of the verse and the next verse. God said, "And you will eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread." This verse does not mean that you will eat only plants. The plants of the field represent what a man gets from his field as he toils. It's to gain, empathize that to get bread, Adam would have to toil until sweat covered his face. In the same way, you can get fruits in a spiritual field only after you toil as well. For example, you should pray following the example of Jesus. Luke chapter 22:44 says, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like a drops of blood falling down upon the ground." The Lord's prayers of such a diligence became an example of a prayer, and they are recorded in the Bible for us to know and learn from. But how many people actually do what the Lord prays for? Most people thinking because He's the Lord and don't follow His way. But I've been praying like this since I was a new believer. I mean, crying out in prayer. Therefore, we must pray with all our heart, all our might, striving and crying out like the Lord, and offer a prayer to God the Father with all our heart. The Old Testament prophets are all recorded as crying out in prayer. The Bible also tells us to cry out to God. Yet, today's believers do not obey this command. Try obeying even now. Pray like this for a few months. You will gain a deeper understanding of the spiritual world. As you gain a deeper understanding of the spiritual world, realize it, and delve deeper into it, you will receive the power and achieve the sanctification of a heart. You will overcome some of the level of the spiritual world. And you will be confident to overcome and overcome and pass a certain level of the spiritual world after that kind of a praying. Otherwise, you and those who even went to the spiritual would remain stagnant. This is because you do not cry in prayer. That's why he prayed honestly and his sweat became like the drops of blood falling to the ground. To become the Savior by taking the cross for sinners, our Jesus also prayed like this. Such prayers can be sent for God and bring down answers and blessings. When Jesus was praying like this way in Luke chapter 22:43, now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Elijah, the prophet, prayed to God and brought down rain that ended the 3.5-year-long drought. Before it took place, however, 1 Kings chapter 18:1 says, "Now it happened after many days that word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth.'" Elijah already heard from God that he would send rain. Therefore, it would have been all right if he had prayed by saying, God, please send the rain just as you told me you would. Elijah did not pray roughly. He prayed fervently by faith until the answer came. Even though God promised to send the rain, he still desperately clung to God until the receiving an answer. That's why it's in Jeremiah chapter 33. Even though God promised to give it, doesn't it tell us to keep praying until we receive an answer? It's because Ezekiel chapter 36 to 37, God is recorded as saying, I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. Even if God says he will give it to you, you must still believe and pray until you receive it. The book of James says that if you pray while doubting, you should not expect to receive an answer. Those who are double-minded person cannot receive an answer. The Bible tells us to believe then pray. Whether you offer vow, the prayer, or a special or not prayer, don't doubt whether you will receive an answer. Pray with a faith until you receive it, believing that you will already receive it. You just have to believe in Him. And you have to believe that you already received it, your answer. 1 Kings chapter 18:42 describes how Elijah prayed. It says, Elijah went up to the top of the camel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees when he prayed. Why did Elijah pray like this? It's evidence that he prayed with a great fervency. As you pray so fervently, risking your life, the pain feels like your intestines are going to burst. So you naturally bend your back. Then you may eventually end up with your face between your knees. Elijah, the prophet, prayed with that kind of a desire and the determinations in his heart. Now, was he able to receive an answer after he prayed just once? No, there's no answer yet. Though he prayed twice, three, four, five, and six times, he still didn't receive an answer. After he prayed the seventh time, which is the perfect number, he finally got the answer. However, it was not a rain shower that appeared. He just saw a cloud as small as a man's palm. When Elijah saw it, he became confident and prepared for the heavy rainfall. For this, James chapter 5:17-18 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed honestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Even though Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, he brought down amazing answers from God. You should keep in mind that the secret was the prayer with all his life. First of all, of course, you should have no wall of sin before God to receive answers. Psalm chapter 16:6-18 says, if I regard the weakness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If you pray with such a sin in your heart and harbor such a sin, God will not listen to you. Those who walk in the light and have no sin between them and God can ask for anything with confidence. That's why 1 John chapter 3:21-22 says, beloved, if. In the Bible, verses that begin with a beloved are about the blessings. There are verses that simply begin with the children. However, anything that begins with a beloved is necessarily about blessings. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, He said, how can we obtain this boldness? It can be gained by the living according to God's word. By living according to the commandments, we can boldly pray to God. As it's written, if there's no sin, evil, or untruth in your heart, you will receive from Him what you ask, because we do what He's pleasing in His sight. When this happens, whatever you ask will be answered. What a blessing these words are. If God calls you my beloved, it would be like this. There's nothing impossible. These things you pray for are supposed to happen if you live like that. If we live according to God's word, casting away even the appearance of evil and fulfilling our hearts with good and love, we will receive the response and give glory to God. These are the testimonies you always hear when believers live according to God's word and walk in the right path. Their tithe that increased significantly. Since you always hear the word of the truth, how can you not be blessed if you act accordingly? I hope that by knowing how to pray, obeying it, and practicing it, you will receive the answer to your prayer this year. Now, let's take a look at the rest of the Genesis chapter 3:19. God said, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In this verse, God said that Adam would now have to follow the physical laws of the first heaven. Adam was created from the ground of the earth, but he became the living being as God blew the breath of life into him. He was an exception to the justice of the first heaven. That's the law of the flesh. As he committed sin, however, his strength spread was drained away, and he returned to his original state. That's as he became a man of the flesh who could do nothing other than follow the law of the flesh. As time passed by, his body became aged and weak, and when he died, his body decayed and went back to the ground. Regarding this, Psalm 104:29 says, you take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3:20 also, all came from the dust and all returned to the dust. Therefore, what truly important is not your flesh body, which is the shell, but your spirit, which is in the core. The Bible tells us not to live for this flesh that is visible to the eye and will return to the handful of the dust, but to live for the soul and the core of our being and the master of our being, spirit. In other words, the soul should prosper. Why do people spend time and the money dressing up and grooming the perishable flesh? Most worldly people don't realize this fact. They invest heavily in their body, which will eventually decay and become dust. They go through life worrying and thinking about eating, drinking, and what to wear. In Luke chapter 12:19, a man who falls into the category says like this, and I will say to you, my soul, so you have made any goods laid up for many years to come, take your ease, eat, drink, and marry. Then God said to him in Luke chapter 12:20, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. God said that those who earn money on this earth buy land, build nice houses, and expand again are foolish. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? When God calls the soul, whose possession will it be? Will it belong to children? Even children of the bloodline fight with their sibling to get more inheritance, and it's a mess. How many people end up going to court to fight? Parents' inheritance should be divided equally, but their children are trying to take more. This leads to a lot of the negative issues, and I've even heard of the lawsuits. This is not their parents' mint. It's vanish. The possessions he has or their parents have accumulated over time will be taken by someone else, and his soul will fall into the fires of the hell. Regarding this, Galatians chapter 6, 8 says, "For the one who saw the pleases of flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to please the Spirit will from the Spirit reap the eternal life. If you live obediently according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the result is eternal life. You will be saved, go to heaven, and live eternal life. However, if you live according to the desire of the flesh, you will be deceived by the enemy devil, Satan, and you will follow his lead, the result will be held. Now, are you going to put your heart, talent, time, and money into your flesh? Or are you going to plan for the Holy Spirit? I believe you are wise. You should sow not for these perishable things of the world, but for the eternal life. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you may enjoy the glory and the honor in beautiful heaven forever. Dear brothers and sisters, so far, I explained the punishment that Adam received from God. Simply put, it was that you will have to work to get food before God gave it to you to eat, but now you eat it by sweating. And so, he had to cultivate and plant the field first and then toil at farming. Do you think God the Father is cold-hearted? In this punishment was contained this deep love of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 13 says, "Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks seeds getting all his labor, it's the gift of God." Farming is difficult for the farmer, but it's worth doing it as his harvest, abundant crops. He can feel the happiness that can never be understood by those who can enjoy the abundance without toil. God wanted to help his beloved Adam feel such a happiness. That was the reason he let Adam undergo human cultivation, although it was a hard work for Adam. I hope you can believe that your life itself is a gift from God, no matter what kind of a human cultivation you undergo now. It's because there's a good will of God for you. Therefore, I urge you to rejoice, always give thanks in all situations, and live your lives diligently. May you eventually come out as a beautiful fruit with joy before God the Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so far it was about the curses given to the serpent, Eve, and Adam for eating the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened the next is recorded in tonight's scripture. First off, Genesis chapter 3:20 says, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living." Adam named his wife Eve. It means the mother of all the living. This mother of all the living has two meanings. First, there is a fleshly meaning. Eve was the first woman of all mankind. All the people in the Garden of Eden are descendants of Adam and Eve. and all the people on the earth are also the descendants of Adam and Eve. Therefore, Eve becomes the mother of all mankind. In this sense, Eve was called the mother of all the living. Secondly, there's the spiritual sense that Eve becomes the mother of all the living. Not everyone on earth is spiritually alive from God's perspective. Not all people are living in the spiritual sense. From God's perspective, only those who possess the life that the eternal, the true life, are the living in a spiritual sense. Those who don't receive the Holy Spirit and whose seed of the life is asleep are spiritually the dead. In the Bible, we can also see the Lord using the expressions living and the dead. So because the disciples did not understand the words, the Lord added an explanation. Only those who receive the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ and can obtain the eternal life through the Holy Spirit are spiritually alive. Because you go to the eternal life without seeing death, but falling into the hell means being dead, a dead person, not a living person, then what is the meaning of the Eve, where they spiritually become the mother of a living? It indicates that among the descendants of the Eve, there will be those whose spirits will revive and achieve the eternal life. It also contains the meaning that Adam and Eve will be saved. Why being cultivated on earth, Adam and Eve fully repented of their sin. As a result, they could reach salvation. The said that the name which means the mother of all the living has two meanings. Dear brothers and sisters, just as there's the mother of the living soul, there's the mother of the dead. It is the opposite concept of the mother of a living. Spiritually speaking, the dead refers to those who don't receive the salvation but die. Then, who is the mother of a dead? As some of you may receive the spiritual inspiration and realize it, Lucifer is a fallen angel and she is the head of the evil spirit. Lucifer, through her servant Satan, devil, and the demons, tries to lead as many people to hell as possible. Naturally, they also try to deceive the God's children and lead them to hell. They alienated them from God and deceived them. These evil spirits incite those who are evil in heart to drag other people to the way of death. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, there are many sins that lead to death. So the Old and the New Testaments consistently say that being greedy for money and acting with a selfish motives ultimately leads to death. So those who act with a greed will ultimately face death. There are so many representative examples in the Bible because of this greed. Gehazi was stricken with leprosy. The man who stole someone attacked I and his family were killed. Judas Isaac Iscariot was sent to the first level of hell and Ananias and Sapphira were sent to the hell after deceiving Peter. In Matthew chapter 23:15, because you travel round on sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much son of hell as yourselves. Lucifer has given birth to the children of hell through evil spirits like this. Therefore, Lucifer can be called the mother of the dead. Moreover, Lucifer is a being in a feminine form. And in the Revelation chapter 19:2, Lucifer was called a great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. The great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, Lucifer instigated people to commit the spiritual immorality. She makes people love the world more than God and drives them to the dislike of having God in their heart. She leads them to enjoy the pleasure of sin and evil and eventually drag them to the hell, the eternal death. Please don't let them devour you. If you quickly discard the evil and the falsehood from your heart, you will not become food. No matter how hard they try to swallow you, they can't. You won't fall for it. If you are good, spirit, and the truth, as this word says, believers must always be sober spiritually. The church in the Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 was condemned as having reputation as being alive but dead. Are there any among you to attend the church but have not received the Holy Spirit? Or are there any among you who have committed the serious sins and are losing the Holy Spirit? I urge you to confess all your sin to the Lord and ask for the grace of the forgiveness. From all the versions like Genesis chapter 3:21 says, "The Lord God made the garments of a skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Before driving Adam and Eve out of this earth, God made the garments the skin of the clothing. Adam and Eve felt ashamed of being naked, and thus God the Father concealed their shame. Before they sinned, they were naked and did not know the shame." It wasn't a shame. God allowed the people in the Garden of Eden to live naked. This is a fleshly reason. God made the garments of a skin for them, and that there's a spiritual meaning as well. First off, the garments of the skin indicates the love of God. God the Father took pity on Adam and Eve, who were about to move down to the earth to live there. God's heart ached because of them. As an expression of the Father's love, who took pity on them, God made the garments of a skin for them and clothed them. The environment of the earth was completely different from that of the Garden of Eden. It's because the earth was also cursed and it had deteriorated in many ways. When Adam sinned, all things belongs to Adam were cursed. That's why the environment was completely different from when Adam came to earth and stayed in the pyramids of Egypt before the curse. He knew the shock they would receive and the suffering they would have to endure such a degenerated land. And so God made a garment of skin and clothed them to protect them. From this, we can find the attentive humanity of God the Father. Next, the garment of the skin also indicated the string of salvation. The garment of the skin was the string of the salvation that connected two of them with God. It contained the meaning of God the Father will not abandon them and will not let them go until the end. Therefore, the garments of a skin were the string of grace and the string of the salvation to Adam and Eve. After Adam and Eve came down to the earth, they couldn't communicate with God as they did before. Before committing sin, they could talk with God as if they were with Him face to face. Because their spirit was the main constituent of their spirit, soul, and body, they had clear communication with God. After committing sin, however, their soul became the principal constituent, yet their communication with God was not completely severed. It was because the strength of the spirits didn't vanish all at once, but it drained gradually. As long as the strength of the spirits remained, it was possible for them to communicate with God. Cain is the son of God and Eve. In Genesis chapter 4, you can find the record of him talking with God. At the time, it was the beginning of the human history, and the world was not stained by evil that much yet. As a sin spread throughout the world and the people became the more became more fleshly, their relationship with God became increasingly blurred. Now is the last day when sin is rampant and it has become more difficult to communicate with God. To communicate with God in the generation, you must have a very pure heart. Your pure heart must be and without blemish or spot for you to have a communication with God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's as the word says, you have a pure heart without any evil in the truth, then you can have a communication with God. To communicate with God, you must have a spiritual authority to penetrate the air where the spirits of the darkness hold power. No matter how much I pray or you pray, if your prayers are blocked by the enemy devil and stuck in the air, it's useless. When you pray with a sin in your heart, your prayers cannot reach God and are blocked in the air by the enemy devil. Conversely, if you are sinless, the enemy devil cannot block your prayers. That's law of the spiritual world. The heavenly hosts and the angels will help you, and your prayers will break it through the barrier and going through. And so Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 11:27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son will reveal him. Except anyone to whom the Son will reveal him. There can be many. He said that no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son will reveal him. Only those who can clearly communicate with God can receive this revelation from God. God reveals himself to those who are proper in the sight of God the Father and the Lord so that they can know God. The revelation which is given by God surely comes about or comes true as written in Deuteronomy chapter 18:22. Evidence surely follows to prove that the revelation is the word of God. In other words, the revelation comes true as spoken. Even after being banished to this earth, Adam and Eve occasionally communicated with God. However, as time passed, the frequency decreased. God the Father knew that would happen, so he made a skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them. When Adam and Eve began to cultivate the humanity in earnest, they realized deep in their heart how great a sin they did. As they come to know good and evil, they come to feel the gravity of their sin. They felt discouraged and regretful, thinking God loved us so much, yet we disobeyed his word. He warned us so strongly, yet we ignored his word. Adam and Eve communicated with God from time to time after they were driven out of the earth. Every time that happened, they remembered the clothes God had made for them and reflect on God's love. God didn't forsake us. He will never let go of us. The string between God and us is not disconnected yet. They can pull themselves together again, and they can have a hope again. Thanks to the garment of a skin that God made, which was the token of a love and the string of a salvation, Adam and Eve could endure life on earth. They could repent of their sin and eventually reach salvation.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.